This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
0-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. 7 in a row. Skeens has struck out the first 7 Cubs of the game. 3-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. 100 miles an hour. 11 strikeouts for Skeens. 6 innings of no-hit baseball in his first career start on the road.
That's an incredible start to his big league career. There's another strikeout for Skeens. 5 in a row. He has struck out 9 Tigers today.
First one that he sees down to ball, and we'll go the short way to finish off this inning. We got to see it, and Skeens made it a short visit. Libby loves it, and America probably starting to love this guy right here.
1-2 pitch. And one of the worst losses in the history of the Pittsburgh Pirates today. Historic. Well, Cruz just trots to first base. Combined no-hitter. First here at Wrigley. Imanaga, Pearson, and Hodge combined to no-hit the Pirates.
I feel sad today. City Limits. Sad and a little bit happy.
Is that a combination that can be had at the same time?
Sure. We're very complex organisms, us humans.
We feel, organisms?
Yeah.
Are we mammals? Well, I don't think we're organisms. I think we're mammals. Is that correct?
Wait. Isn't an organism any living thing? What? Am I wrong about that? Are we not organisms?
I don't know. I'm really bad at science, Joe. You might be right. I think you probably are right. We're all organisms?
Wait.
How did I ever pass science?
Oh, my God. I'm going to embarrass myself horrifically here. An organism is an individual animal, plant, or single-celled life form. We don't have a single cell, so we're something more than
organisms. That's correct. An organism is like a germ.
I'm not a germ.
You're afraid of germs. We are not organisms.
Are you cold?
You're trying to convince me that we're organisms.
I don't know. I thought an organism was anything that's living. I thought.
Am I cold? No, not really. It's starting to become sweater weather, but for me, it's hoodies.
Why did I say that? Why did we try to define organism? Oh, because we're complex human beings capable of carrying many feelings at once. People ask me how I am. How am I?
Do you always answer good?
I don't know.
I'm well.
I'm happy that the Steelers are off to a great start, that I had a good sleep, that my daughter's having a good experience at school. I'm sad about many, many other things. I'm angry about some things. I'm depressed about the pie. What do you mean, how am I? I'm 18 million different things at any time on any given day.
But in a general consensus, when you round that all up into a little ball, or maybe a giant ball, what's the main emotion?
Confused. I don't think that's an emotion.
It's me every day.
I don't think
every
that's
day
an emotion.
Of my life.
How are you today? You look different. You look all different. I swear, I look to my left, you're like a chameleon. Some days your hair is all over the place. Some days it's slicked back like Jim Carrey in Ace Ventura. And now today it's all brushed to the side and you have a big, huge sweatshirt on and a little bit of scruff.
Is the sweatshirt too big?
It looks big. It looks inappropriate for today. We're not there yet. It's not cold out.
Well, it is a dreary day.
It's dreary. Maybe that's
why I'm
depressed.
You're wearing a giant coat like it's 20 degrees outside.
This is not a giant coat. It's a windbreaker golf outfit.
Well, you could confuse me from behind the glass.
I know. So why am I happy and sad, you might ask? Although you never did.
How are you? I had a great night in the hot tub last night. It might be the final night of the year in the hot tub.
Oh, my God. What happened?
I just sat there for 20 minutes, and it was quiet, and it was peaceful.
I thought maybe a romantic interlude had taken place.
And if that was the case, I would not be sharing it with you here.
All right, Limits. We're going to talk lots of Steelers today. You know that. There's a giant game against the Colts coming up. But we're going to kick that off at 11 with Chris Hoke. I'm of a mind this morning to say goodbye to the Pirates. I fear there may not be enough time for a goodbye next week. Certainly not Monday, the day after the season ends, because we're going to be talking about the Steeler game. And when I think of this Pirates season, and I put a lot of thought into it this morning and last night, it was a disaster, except for Paul Skeens. And that's a big exception, however you want to phrase that. That's a big but, you might say. The arrival of maybe the greatest rookie pitcher who ever lived is not a small deal. And that got me to thinking, oh my God, what if he hadn't arrived? What else really happened, transpired this season, that would leave you especially hopeful or cheerful or happy as a Pirate fan? What? Jared Jones' arrival, I guess? I mean, it was a little rough after a great start. I'm still excited about him, I guess. Andrew McCutchen was his usual self. Really a legend in Pirates history, I think. Guys like Joey Bart and Luis Ortiz, who was great last night, surprised us. Brian Reynolds was good. I already knew he was good. He's not great. He's good. What does he have, a 781 OPS? Nobody on this team is going to hit 25 home runs. Nobody's going to bat 300. The offense is a joke. The bullpen is a joke. And they're sitting here with the same record as they had last season. 74-84 with a worse farm system. With a worse farm system. Did you hear that, Limits?
Unfortunately, yes, I did.
So, yes, I realize it's a big other than. But other than Skeens, this was depressing, disappointing, disastrous, dysfunctional, and any other D word you can possibly think of. And yes, yes, at times delightful. It was. There were some good moments, starting with Skeens and some of the stuff that you just heard. I asked Derek Shelton the other day how he would characterize the season. He said, that's a good question. I thought it was too. Did you, Limits?
Yeah, you do ask really good questions.
Thank you. I mean, that wasn't a great question. It was sort of an obvious question. He said, obviously, we're disappointed because we haven't played better. And I think that's the main focus. We need to get going. We need to be better. Now, there's a hell of an idea, huh? We need to be better. We agree. Shelty is almost 30 games under 500. Since he signed his extension early last season, he got the dreaded vote of confidence from Ben Cherington, but how safe is he?
You know how Tomlin says obviously all the time and we keep track of that? We need to get better tracker throughout the entirety of this season to see how many times that it was said.
I mean, how safe should anybody be if the Pirates have a worse record than last year? And believe me, I'm one who thinks these last four games, if you haven't made up your mind on the manager and GM yet, what do they have to do with anything? But man, maybe they do. I don't know what Bob Nutting is thinking, other than stiffing Rowdy Tellez out of $200,000 one game before he's supposed to get it. Mike Florio was on with the PM guys yesterday and said in the NFL, you know, they go out of their way to give guys bonuses like that, even if they're a little short. That's the way you do business in pro sports. That's the way you do it. And I know it's an ugly business and people get cut and all kinds of things like that. But when it comes to a bonus like that, you don't go out of your way to stiff a guy. The Pirates literally became an international story for a day. I mean, it was everywhere. Everywhere. Perhaps distracting us from the fact that they might have a worse record than last season. This was Jeff Passan on the Mark Cabali show, otherwise known as the Pat McAfee show, yesterday, talking about the stiffing of Rowdy.
I think the important point here is not to focus on how the Pirates screwed Rowdy Tellez out of $200,000. It's to look at the Pirates and to look at Bob Nutting and to ask, why is Rowdy Tellez your first baseman in the first place? Why aren't you going out and getting better players? Why don't you sign Christian Walker or Pete Alonso or someone this winter to go and be a part of the core of that lineup long term? Why are you always playing for short term with little money? Why do you have an $86 million payroll to open the season when the rest of the sport at the top has $300+ million? How do you continue to exist as a Major League Baseball owner who theoretically wants to win a championship and do so pinching pennies? This is what happens. This, Pat, is the consequence of ownership that does not treat things seriously.
And that was the story at the beginning of the season out of The Athletic with Ken Rosenthal and Stephen Nesbitt, just talking about, are we trying to win here? Are we trying to win? So we got what we got. Pretty much the same as last season, plus the arrival of a great, great pitcher. And that part's exciting. Having the farm system be even worse and continuing to lose and continuing to augment the reputation that Bob Nutting and the Pirates already have in really, I don't remember the last incident like this that had everybody screaming from the rooftops. Maybe it was Juan Nicasio a couple of years ago where they traded him right before, I think, a bonus.
He had a really good ERA. He's like one of their best relievers.
And then there was
something that was due to him, and he got either DFA'd or traded and went to Philadelphia.
To the Cardinals.
Or it was the Cardinals,
Cardinals, and then came back to beat the Pirates. Sometimes it's the little things that become giant stories. So anyway, why don't we say goodbye to the Pirates for the year, Limits? Are you ready to do that with me?
I'm ready.
It's a little bit of an awards show, although it doesn't feel very exciting.
It's bittersweet.
Bittersweet is a great word. And that also is sort of a contradictory feeling, right? That's where we began the show, that we often hold very contradictory feelings at the same time. Bittersweet.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
What a great word. And it is one word.
Correct. That is one word, yes.
Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Got a lot happening today. Hokie's in. John Parado's in. I bet you he won't have any opinions on the Pirates and Tellez.
Not one from Johnny.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. All right, Limits. I know you're a giant Pirates fan, and I commend you for that. And I know you had some fun moments this year, but mostly they crushed your spirit. Who's the MVP?
Paul Skeens.
Yes.
Paul Skeens is the MVP of the 2024 Pittsburgh Pirates. He should win Rookie of the Year. I don't think there's any doubt about that. He is a sub-2 ERA. If he qualified for the ERA title, which he needs a few more innings, he could be your Cy Young winner, Joe.
But he's still not the Vegas favorite to win.
He is now.
He is?
He is now. As
he
of
moved
the last
ahead
week,
of Jackson Merrill?
He moved ahead of Jackson Merrill, yes. It's a very tight race, but Skeens is the betting favorite, yes. He should win it. He has been the most dominant pitcher to come up to the big league since Strasburg. Maybe the numbers say that he was better than Strasburg was when he first came up. So the most dominant pitcher in like 20-plus years that has come up to the big leagues.
Yeah.
Started the All-Star game. The notoriety that he's given the Pirates this year and the dominant nature that he brings to the mound, there's just no other option.
Yeah, Skeens is their MVP, period. Reynolds had a nice year. He was really hot for a while, but when you look at his numbers now, you know, he's a good player. Not a great player. He's not a star. He's a good player. Not a guy, not like a franchise player that you build around. And they lack that. And that's one of the most depressing things around here.
Like, if Brian Reynolds is their number three hitter, and I mean in terms of, like, quality of hitter, like their third best.
Yes.
You're talking about a very good lineup. But he's their top hitter, and that's part of the problem.
We talked about this earlier this year when I think it was Bonds, when it first came out that he was going to the Hall of Honor, and I think Dave Parker was in town. And it got me to thinking, who's the next great Pirates hitter? Where? Why don't they ever have a guy bullet through their system and immediately become a star like a Jackson Merrill? Like Shorio with Milwaukee? Like numerous guys in the big leagues? The Orioles have had a few of those. That's what's supposed to happen once in a while. Who is the next great Pirate hitter? I don't know. Tamar Johnson? He's not exactly rocketing through. He's had some good moments, some bad moments. He's rising. I don't know that I have him pegged as their next MVP candidate at the plate. Who is it? Might it be Cruz next year?
It's going to have to be. In center field.
That's problematic. Who's the LVP?
There's a lot of candidates there.
Whew. Are there a lot of candidates there? Mine is Key Brian Hayes.
I figured. You've been banging the Key Brian Hayes drum all season.
Because it's based on expectation. He shredded National League pitching for the last 3 months last season. His last 3 months. He was hurt in July. So June, August, September, he had 13 home runs, high 800 OPS, crushing the ball. You combine that with his fielding, you figured he's at least going to be good this season, and is he moving toward greatness? And instead, he was unusable. He was one of the worst hitters in baseball. He had a 290 slugging percentage, which is almost impossible to get. He had 13 extra base hits and 365 at-bats. But yes, I know there's a lot of candidates for LVP.
And the two guys that I just cannot get out of my mind, Joe, are Henry Davis and Jack Sawinski.
Yeah.
Sawinski hit 26 bombs last year, drove in 74. He comes back this year, he's hit 9 and hits 182 yes. in 88 games. They can't even bring him back up.
Yes.
He's struggling in AAA at times. So the expectations for him were supposed to be to take that next step. And I won't forget, remember when Brian Reynolds got the contract and Mitch Keller got the contract? And the ultimate conversation shifted to, okay, who's next?
Yeah.
O'Neill Cruz, ideally. But don't forget the one name that was brought up by a couple of different people. Jack Sawinski,
yes.
extension candidate.
And, I mean, even
oh
if you figured he's a young kid, he'll at least do what he did last year. All right, give me an 800 OPS or close to it and 26 home runs.
He had a 588 OPS.
Here's the thing, and you mentioned Henry Davis, who everybody was excited about. The Pirates didn't just have disappointing players. They had unplayable players. Guys who were not playable. Henry Davis was not usable in the major leagues. He hit 143 with, what, one home run, I think? Two home runs? Connor Joe went 3 months almost without an extra base hit. He had like four of them. Key Brian Hayes, I just told you about, not playable, and yet they played him. Jack Sawinski, unplayable. So Sawinski, Davis, Hayes, Connor Joe, for months at a time, Tellez and Grandal, unplayable, and yet they played. Edward Olivares, I've got a number on this guy. This was a borderline miracle.
Oh, was this the extra base hit stat, Joe?
Yeah, it's the extra base hit stat. He went his last 63 at-bats here, spanning 3 months, I might add, with zero extra base hits. None. Oh, I forgot Jared Triolo. He was unplayable for the whole year. But guess what? He played the whole year. I mean, it was remarkable. Other teams, guys, slump. Sure, they have off years. They don't become unplayable. And that's the best word I can think of. And yet, not only were these guys continuously in the lineup, symbolized mostly by Connor Joe, who in a recent game batted cleanup, they played all the time in the middle of the lineup. I haven't even mentioned Michael A. Taylor, who looks like, you know, Mickey Mantle in this lineup at times. He was unplayable. Oh, what an epic disaster this lineup was. And it should be a foregone conclusion that Andy Haynes, the hitting coach, is going to lose his job. But nothing would surprise me with the Pirates. I mean, think about that, Limits. You just had guys who became minor leaguers and were playing in the majors.
Yeah, Triolo had a good last month, but whatever. It's September baseball, they're out of it. I would argue Henry Davis is the biggest disappointment out of any of them, even though I made the case for Sawinski. Davis, the expectation were that he was going to come into this year, hit the ball, hit like five home runs to lead the team in spring training,
yep,
and that his defense was always the problem. Well, his defense was fine, and he hit 144 and couldn't even get on the field.
That's what I mean.
And that's what's even...
Literally, you can't play
as him. As a 1-1, you couldn't put him in the lineup because he kept striking out.
He didn't hit 210 with 13 home runs. He hit what a pitcher would hit.
He had 100 at-bats. He struck out 45 times. He almost struck out 50% of the time.
Yeah, it's unreal. This Pirate talk, which you could whittle down to a six-pack, I suppose.
You could whittle down to our sobbing six-pack.
A sobbing six-pack is brought to you by Bet365. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right. How about the best managerial decision of the year? I know.
Lovello starting Paul Skeens in the All-Star game. Can I go with that?
That's pretty good. That's why we pay you the big bucks. That's why you lift all them weights. I'm going to say putting Andrew McCutchen in the leadoff spot. Out of that spot this season, he had 15 homers and a .343 on base percentage, which would have ranked over a whole year top 15 in the National League. The worst managerial decision. I'm going to say it was that legendary day, that fateful day against Arizona when Shelty had two lefties available, Beeks and Chapman, and instead went with a righty to face a red-hot lefty in Jock Peterson, who hit a three-run crushing home run. That was up there, yes?
That's a great pick. I think about a couple of the games where they were up by four or more runs or so, and then ultimately blew it because of decisions to put Chapman in or decisions to continue to stick with David Bednar. Over and over again.
So he's an LVP candidate.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt
I mean,
about it.
He might be the leading LVP candidate based on expectations.
There are so many Bednar examples that it's hard to pick just one, which is very unfortunate because of how dominant he was over the last couple of years.
Best organizational decision.
Joey Bart.
Yeah, for sure.
Trading for Joey Bart.
Mine would be, besides calling up Skeens earlier than expected, which I liked, and keeping Jones out of spring training, right? They kept him on the roster.
Okay, I want to argue against that. Because if they bring up Jared Jones 2 weeks later, think about this. The point of bringing Jared Jones up at the start of the year was so that you reward a guy who was pitching dominantly and did not give up a run in spring training. Okay.
Yes.
So that you would be able to build him up, continue working, because you felt like you were going to be in a playoff position right now. You are not in a playoff position right now, and because you had Jared Jones on the opening day roster, you lose an extra year of service
time.
I
know.
So everybody
bitches and moans about them not keeping guys. Then they keep a guy, and they get ripped for that, too.
I would have rather had Jared Jones come up after 2 weeks and get the service time, like what the Cubs did with Chris Bryant. That is just too valuable to a small market organization that needs to count on service time. I'm sorry, it is.
My other organizational decision that I thought was good was moving Cruz to center field. I mean, it had become fairly obvious that the whole shortstop thing wasn't going to work. I won't mention that 8 days before that, Ben Cherington was quoted as saying, he's our shortstop. We'll just let that slide. Worst organizational decision. Wonder Twin, may I go first?
Yes.
I mean, we could spend hours on this, but stiffing Rowdy out of a $200,000 bonus bought you a day of being an international laughingstock. I mean, for God's sakes, they were on Sportsnet Canada ripping the Pirates. Was it worth it? Really? I don't care about free agents signing or not signing here. I have no idea how it would affect that. But you became an international laughingstock across sports for what you did there. Was it worth it? I ask you. Your choice here?
Not getting Jazz Chisholm at the trade deadline and actually going all in. You could also say, after there was so much scrutiny around Andy Haynes last year, bringing him back for another season.
That's a great call.
Those are two that immediately stand out to me, because think about this. Who had the worst, I think it was WAR, said whatever stat it was,
yeah,
since coming over to a different team at the trade deadline? Who do you think had the worst?
Brian De La Cruz.
That's correct. Who do you think had the best out of all players that were acquired at the trade deadline?
Who?
Jazz Chisholm.
This is, again,
best impact.
You're on fire today. You're really playing well early in the game.
I prepped very well today.
It must be the new hairdo, I think.
I liked my old hairdo better. I just didn't put any product in it today.
The best series of the year. No, I got one for you. It was the season opening series against Miami, although the Dodgers series was great here. The one here in early in the season when Skeen struck out Betts and Otani to start the game. The Pirates took 2 of 3. That was great baseball. How many series did the Pirates sweep after opening with a 4-game sweep of the Marlins? How many limits?
One, and it was Miami again.
Wrong. Two, the White Sox and Miami again.
Yeah, that was the White Sox.
That probably shouldn't count, right?
No, considering they've lost, what, 120 games?
Yeah. The worst series of the year, in your humble opinion.
The Arizona Diamondbacks one at home?
That was a gut puncher.
I was at the Friday night loss and the Sunday loss, and it felt like when Holderman gave up the home run, the season was over. And they were up by, I think it was 4 in the Friday game.
Well, I also would say the one in San Diego. You know that little gif that's out there of the karate guy repeatedly getting kicked in the groin?
Like, yes.
Rapid fire kicks.
That's what it sounds like.
That was the San Diego series. That was all of us watching the Padres series. Somebody might as well have been in your living room kicking you in the groin 1,000 times a minute.
Very good nominee from a texter here. The 10-3 loss, or the game they were leading 10-3 against the Cubs
I'm gonna
in
get
the final
that.
Couple
yes.
innings.
Well, that was my worst series. Even with what we just said, it was giving up 41 runs in 3 straight losses to the Cubs in a sweep in late August.